Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, where we explore key issues and compelling stories in the trucking industry. Today, we're here with Jason. He was a pastor to a barber to now a truck driver, currently doing flatbed. So, hey, Jason.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I enjoy it. I enjoy the podcast, really, because I try to watch them all. Even sometimes I'll go back to the old ones and rewatch because there's information in there, you know, that maybe I forgot or I need to, you know, and you get to know the people who work here too, which which is nice.
It's key. You know? I got one important question for you, and that's it today.
No. Okay.
Just one question is, you like to sing?
I do. Yeah, I love to sing. I when I became a Christian, I was about 16 years old in church and had the opportunity to go, you know, sing in church, and that's kind of where it all started. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
And my kids, I got six kids, and they're in the music. A lot of them play instruments, and they sing, too. So we're kind of a singing family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of known as the singing truck driver.
Right.
Yeah. Right? That's your claim to fame.
I think so, yeah.
On YouTube. And
I enjoy it, you know. There are people that have known me, like when I was a pastor, a lot of my church members over the years. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, they like to hear me sing, and you know, already got me scheduled to sing in their funerals and things like that. So I'll do for them sometimes, and they'll say, well, we haven't heard anything. And you know what I'm saying? I don't try to do it for, like, attentions per se, but I just enjoy it, you know.
Yeah. Can you belt out a soulful line for us, Amazing Grace or something?
Well, I don't know about that.
What do you like? What's the song? What's the song you sing?
All kinds.
Like a go-to, one stuck in your head always.
I don't know. It just varies. I mean, right now I'm trying to pick up some new songs of it's Christian blues.
Okay.
But it's not like sad blues, you know, where you're down in the dumps. But it's just that blues style.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a jazzy type, relaxing, you know, type. But yeah. But I listen to mostly gospel, but, you know, a lot of, you know, even like country music and contemporary worship. And I was just introduced to the contemporary here in the last few years, the church that we attend, when we came in to that, they knew I sang. So they asked me to be the worship leader, you know, in the music department. And they sang mostly contemporary, and my wife and the kids, they all love that. I was more of a Southern gospel type, you know, the quartets and things like that, the Gaithers. And
have you been in a quartet?
Yeah, I was in Bible college. I was in a quartet.
Okay, what was the name of the quartet?
I don't know if we even had a name. Yeah, I'm not even sure. They might have, but I'm not sure. But we sing a lot of the old hymns, which was in some of the in the hymn book, some of the songs that you don't normally sing. A lot of churches they have their own, just so many songs that they sing.
Right.
So we would try to find some that we didn't even know and learn them. But so when I got into the contemporary, it was just like a whole new world for me.
Yeah.
So I would listen to it, and then I began to learn them.
Yeah.
And enjoyed them.
Yeah. Well, our guy behind the video camera, Daniel, he's a singing man.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, which is the One Dan Band.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we get you guys together on the mic and rocking and rolling.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, what I like, because I can't harmonize.
Mm-hmm.
My children can. I just sing, you know, what do you call the lead or there's a word for it, but I cannot, like, sing parts, you know, bass or tenor, things like that.
Yeah.
But I love that when people can, you know, it just blends.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but anyway.
Well, tell me your story of going from starting off being a pastor. You said you were called to preach.
Called to preach
at a young
when
age.
I was 16, and I got saved when I was 16, and went to some conference, some teen conference or something. I felt the Lord calling me to be a preacher. Mm-hmm. And that year I started going to, you know, nursing homes mm-hmm. and having services, jail ministry, prison mm-hmm. ministry, and preaching in the church and to the youth.
So you just walked in the nursing home and said,
yeah, I mean,
can
yeah,
I have a
even
message?
Just recently, until I switched over to flatbed, we were in a nursing home in Pittsfield. I just felt led to go over into the nursing home, and they just let you come. You know, we'll sing and have services. And I call them the forgotten church is what I call them, the mm-hmm. nursing home. Because
yeah.
If you think, a lot of times, you know, the nursing home, a lot of them, they end up in the nursing home. Some of their families don't, you know, may not go and see them like mm-hmm. they should, or maybe they don't have family.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were young once. They were in church. Mm-hmm. They served the Lord in their ministries.
Yeah.
And they were somebody, you know what I'm saying? And to somebody, you know
right.
what I mean? And now, you know, I get goosebumps thinking about it. But, mm. you know, they just, I just think, you know, they're like the forgotten church.
Mm.
And I even thought about writing a book on it sometime mm. that we need to not forget, you know,
yeah.
the elderly and
mm.
our families and different ones, and just take the time. And that's the thing. We would just go and just spend time with them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of most of my kids, they were before they were even there in my wife's stomach. I mean, before they were even born, they were in the nursing home. Most of all my kids were in the nursing home ministry,
yeah.
and they grew up around
mm.
that. And anyway, it's just being there for somebody. You don't even have to have any kind of talent whatsoever. You don't just sometimes just being there and just listening to someone, you know,
yeah.
means the world to them.
Yeah.
And they may have dementia. There's sometimes they'll think that I'm their son,
mm.
and I just go right along with it. You know, they say not to,
right.
you don't argue with them.
Yeah.
In their mind, yeah, you're their family.
Uh-huh.
And I'll sit down and talk to them just, and you can just see the peace goes over them,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And then the next day it could be something different,
mm-hmm.
but just being in the presence and being there for somebody, that's something big for us,
mm-hmm.
our family. We try to do that
mm-hmm.
When we can.
Yeah, to be able to love in that way.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's a phenomenal way to do that.
Yeah.
And just to be in around that community and.
Right, and yeah. And in anywhere, not just say the nursing home or something, but just in life in general. You know, before we started this, I was telling you about a fellow that
mm-hmm.
was just having a bad day, truck driver, and I just, you know, stopped and just asked him questions and listened to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still young, and I told him, you know, you still got your life ahead of you, and it's all going to work out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get some direction and stuff. So mm-hmm. just sometimes just taking the blinders off, you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
a lot of times we're stuck with those blinders.
Yeah.
And we're not looking past what's
right.
in front of us, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just have to take those blinders off.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've drove down a road before and look over and there's a house there. And it's like, I don't remember that house being there, you know.
Right.
It's been there 100 years.
Right.
But, you know, we have to take time. We have to intentionally do it. It just doesn't
yeah.
come natural because naturally we're kind of selfish people, you
sure,
know.
Sure, right.
We think about us.
And every person you meet has a story.
Everybody.
Everyone has a background. They are, believe it or not, they're humans, just
yes.
like you are.
And everybody has problems.
Right.
Even though they have a smile on their face, a lot of times there's trouble, there's problems behind that smile.
Hmm.
And so we can't take for granted that. And I think, and I try to remember that even dealing with people at work. You know, if I'm calling or if they're calling me or, you know, I try to put myself in their shoes. Maybe they're having a bad day. You know, you try to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
Even though you're not the only one that has a bad day. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? And or had something happen, you know, that's something personal to them. They're not going to share, but it's
yeah.
affecting them. And you can't take it personal if something happens. If they
yeah.
may come at you at an unusual way, you know what I'm saying? You can't take that personal because they might be dealing
yeah.
with something.
And to love other people, you got to be filled up yourself.
Oh,
to be
yeah.
able to take all those blinders off. How do you fill yourself
it's
up?
It's like a sponge almost. And I've actually preached a message about, you know, when a sponge, you take in what God has given you. And one of the verses, like, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true and honest and pure, you know, you think on those things, mm-hmm. you know, to stay positive. But, you know, going to church, you got to be, it's just like a rechargeable battery. You know, you use it, and eventually it's going to die. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be as usable
right.
as it was in the beginning. So you got to charge it up again. Mm-hmm. And we all got to be charged. So it depends on what we plug ourselves into.
Right.
Depends on how long we're going to be charged. So going to church, hearing the gospel, listening to good music, mm-hmm. that's ministering to us. Being around positive people. You know, sometimes you got to be selective on who you deal with, who you talk to, who you hook up to, you know. And so people can charge you up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, being in the church can charge you up. Encouraging others can. And so I look at it as a sponge, all these positive things, and you soak it up, and then you take that sponge, and then you can wring yeah. it out on other people.
Right.
You know, the love that you've absorbed. And then eventually it dries up and you got to go back and start over
right,
again.
Right.
You got to get charged back up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a guy, cross country runner, who he usually in competition, you try to beat down your opponent.
Yeah.
But he would say, I would just cheer on the person next to me, whether in my head or next to them. They're here to make me better.
Yeah.
And he would say encouraging stuff to them. And he said whenever he would do that, he himself would feel better.
Yes.
And a little bit lighter.
Right.
And I think there's a power in, you said, recharging yourself and giving someone else some encouragement.
Right.
Instead of beating yourself down about
whatever. That's it.
It
does help you. Like, you know, a lot of times we want to throw a pity party for ourselves.
Yeah.
But usually nobody shows up for it, you know, except for us.
It's a pity party of one.
Yeah. So what is it that I'm going through? You try to find somebody and do something good for them.
Yeah.
And in turn, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It really does. You don't. Your problem might not go away, but, you know, the Lord basically, he says, I forget, I'm going blank on a verse, but he will... I can't think of it. I'll think of one. I'm not thinking of it, but he'll carry us through mm-hmm. these troubles and trials in our lives. There's several places,
yeah.
you know. He
yeah.
talks about take
cast
my
your
yoke
burden on the Lord, and
yeah,
he'll,
and then he says right. take yeah. my yoke upon you, you know, because yeah. my burden's light. So he'll help you through it. He may not completely take it away, but he'll help you through it.
Yeah,
because there's somebody said something I can't remember one time about. Oh man! Anyway, maybe I'm not supposed to say it, but anyway, it was good.
Yeah. So back to your story.
Yeah.
You got a call from God at a young age.
Right.
You said, "Jason, I want you to preach to pastor," and what happened next?
Well, like I said, I had told my pastor about it, and then he said, "Just get out there and do it." And so I would try to create ministries and get involved in reaching people. Obviously, I'm 16. I'm 51 now, but over the years, the ministries had changed. I ended up going to a Bible college, and I was 18 or 19, and it was in Chicago area. And so it was, I'm a country boy, so going from that to the city.
And was this in Illinois?
Yeah, Illinois, yeah. And it was like a culture shock for me because I was fairly new Christian, mm-hmm. you know. And it was like, it was almost too much, overwhelming. So I ended up being in there for like a semester and then coming back. And then end up going to another, and a couple of years after that, going to a Bible college in Texas. And that's where I met my wife. Mm. And she was going there. She's from New Jersey. And so we met, and long story short, you know, we started dating and what have you. We were in the ministry together. We worked together. Ever since we met, we've been a team. Like when I go to, like the, even singing in the church, she's up there with me, you know. Everything that we've done in the ministry, we've done together, and which is mm-hmm. amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And so we met, and we got married.
Well, to that went pretty seamless. I mean, you guys got to know each other.
Yeah, I mean,
you made it seem really easy. Just you met and then you got married.
Sort of. It didn't happen that fast, but it just little by little. In the college, they like encouraged them to go, you know, go on dates and stuff,
sure.
and ask this person. So, you know, it got to that point where I worked up the nerve and then asked, and it just we just hit it off. You know, it was just meant to be, almost like a soulmate type situation. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up getting married, and we moved back to Illinois and got involved in our church and in all sorts of ministries that we could. I mean, I've been a part of pretty much every aspect of the church. I had an evangelist tell me one time, because I wasn't sure what direction God wanted me to go, and he just said, get involved in everything you can in the church.
Yeah.
Everything. And at the time, I was never thought about being a pastor.
Sure.
But I would get involved in every little thing. And so that I knew God was preparing me.
And you really learned your skills, like the stuff you enjoy, the stuff you
don't
like.
Right.
And that's a great, yeah.
But
advice.
Learning the insides of the ministry, like, you know, from the different, like Sunday school classes and what have you, learning all those things helped me as a pastor to understand and kind
to
of
know
guide.
The whole church.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then outside of the ministries outside the church, it's not just in, but you go outside the walls too, mm-hmm. you know. And so, yeah, I just tried to get involved. And if anybody asked, and this was probably my downfall in some ways, that anytime the pastor just hinted about something and he had done, I would do it, you know. And sometimes you can get too involved.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to be balanced.
Right.
And those are things you learn as you get older.
Sure.
To balance things. So, yeah.
I get that. I'm chronic at that too. So getting to know your church, you're involved a lot. You got your Master's of Divinity or?
No, it was actually, the college we went to was almost, it was like a church college, and we didn't know the difference at the time, but it was a non-credited college.
Yeah.
So we put several years into it. Now, we look back now and we wish, I mean, it all worked out because that's where we met. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
But now my wife, she's almost done. She's almost got her bachelor's degree done. But now we've done school later in life, you know, and maybe we should have got some done earlier. But regardless,
it worked out.
Yeah, and so.
Okay, but then how'd you end up going to
pastoring?
Become a pastor?
Yeah, I was working with teenagers. We had like 40 or 50 teenagers in our teen church, I called it, and because we saw that teenagers were like, once they got to the teenage, they would leave the church. And so they didn't want to sit in, like, you know, the boring church service with the adults, you know, type of thing. We kind of saw some of that. And so I decided, well, let's start some kind of a teen church and have it on their level and have fun with it, you know. So we did. And we'd get like 40 or 50 teenagers. And then I wanted to do a ministry where we go, you know, on a bus route and go and pick up kids, you know.
For sure.
So I thought, let's start something that the teenagers can be a part of, that their ministry. So we went and looked. We drove like an hour.
And this was in Pittsfield area?
This was in Pittsfield. We drove like an hour to Calhoun County. It was a river town. And I was kind of scope it out and see about going, running a bus over there and picking people up. And it was the craziest thing. When I pulled into the church, or not church, but when I pulled into the town, it was like God said, you're not starting a bus ministry here. I want you to do a church here. Because it was, there was no, you know, gospel preaching, reaching type church in that area. And I was like, wow. And so anyway, I think I told my wife at the time, and so I kind of kept it to myself for like a month, because I remember the times I'd tell my pastor, I feel like the Lord's telling me this, and he says, well, come back in a month and tell me. So it's not like a feel-goody type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really mean it? And I still did. It was still there, just like it actually was more. And so from that, the church helped us transition over there. There was actually a church building that wasn't being used. So it was crazy. It was a church building that was sitting there that was a church at one time, but it kind of died.
And this was going to be a church not just for teens, but
this was actually going to be just a whole other ministry, a whole other church in itself.
Another church, another
place.
Right,
yeah. And so we end up getting that building. And then, you know, it's a town, it's a county. The county had like 1,000. And then on our biggest day, we'd run 70 or so people in the church, which was big, you know, for that area. And then we started a Christian school. We had all kinds of different ministries. We was on the radio. We had a radio ministry.
Wow.
It just kept growing.
Mm.
It was amazing. It was one of some of the best years of our lives. And and some of the church members that were there years ago are going to the church that we go to now, because somebody had taken over the church, and through other circumstances it kind of died, and after we had left, and so they were looking for a place. So anyway, I still get to be around them, you know.
Yeah.
the old church members and stuff.
Right.
Still, we still have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of poured into them.
Yeah.
Got to know your church members.
Right.
Preached a lot of messages.
Yeah. Yeah, 11 years we were there, and then I pastored in another church for a year, but I was basically kind of filling in. They didn't have anybody.
Sure.
It was a small, us four, no more type church.
Yeah.
You know? But I was just there to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What was the most memorable teen lesson? You mentioned doing this teen church. This most memorable teen lesson that you've done?
A lesson?
Maybe some object lesson or something that really just
stands
out.
Well, a lot of my sermons, I would use visuals. That's because I need visuals.
Right.
You know, if a pastor's just sitting up there and standing in front of the pulpit and not moving,
yeah,
it just bores me to death. And I like the screens. You know, some people, the old-fashioned, they don't want the screens. I like the screens. Put something up there, you know. I would even use illustrations like my kids and I raised my kids up on Andy Griffith, you know, all those old shows.
Yeah.
And so I've watched Andy Griffith so much that I could look at Andy Griffith and I could pull something biblical out of there. And I've actually used clips from Andy Griffith in a sermons before, you know. And so I'll do stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, illustrations, just all kinds. I mean, just even with, I remember one time I did, Abraham and Isaac, when he was going up in the mountains, going to sacrifice him, you know. And I was kind of acting that out. And I had one of my oldest son, and I had this big old long knife,
oh,
you know.
No.
You know, it's just a visual.
Yeah.
And I said, Philip, come on up here. And he's like, no, he wasn't coming up there.
Yeah.
But I like to use visuals. Because it helps you remember things. At least,
you know,
it does me.
You know what's funny is at church we do openers in Sunday school, like a 5-minute lesson. And someone did that, and actually it was Drew Martin in Operations.
Oh, really?
He brought up his oldest son, had him lay, and he took out a knife. And
You remember that?
Well, those are the things you remember, are the visual object lessons.
Yeah, that's how I remember. I remember seeing pictures and stuff, and I would use people. You know, I would use people out there in the pews. And
we're going to act out the crucifixion. Any volunteers?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we would, you know, Jesus did the same thing.
Yeah.
He would preach in parables so they could, you know, kind of help you understand it. He put it down there very easy to understand, you know, use visuals.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's what I like. So yeah, we did a lot of that with the teens. Nothing that particularly stands out. There's probably something, but
yeah. So you said, looking back on it, it was some of the best times of your life. Why would you say that? What are some of those things that caused it to be?
It was family, and I've had the church members tell us that, because once it was kind of dispersed, and even ourselves, we had a hard time finding a church that was like that, and we were close. It was a family. It was like when the Bible talks about being in one accord, that's how it was. And it was tough to move on from that. But then it's also, it was tough now trying to find something to match that. You know, I don't think we could ever go back and like redo it. I don't think you can do that. I think it was just a time in life where a lot of folks received Christ as their Savior. A lot of families were brought together, and now they're all in different churches and they're serving the Lord in their way. I think God used it during those 11 years.
Yeah.
But it was something special, and I think all of them would say that, which a lot of them have, that they can't, they've not been able to, they've actually looked at different, went to other churches and not stay there very long because they're looking for that, what we used to have, that togetherness. And and so we ourselves personally, we haven't found it ourselves. I mean, we love the church that we're at, but it's not like it was.
Yeah.
You know.
And you were pouring in so much at that time too.
Right.
You know, it's
and that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you get out of it.
But we had fun. I mean, it was, we were ourselves. And I was really strict on that myself as being the same in church as I am at home because I had children. And I didn't want them to grow up to be bitter, you know, to see two different versions and stuff. So I was just a human. I was just normal. I mean, I had flaws, and the church knew it. We all had problems. You know, we're all sinners, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and we had fun. We laughed. I would interact with them even during the sermon. You know, I'm the one, it's my turn to speak, but, you know, I may tell a joke and one of the guys may go, boo, it's because it wasn't funny. You know what I'm saying? we had fun together like that.
Sure.
And it was like a family. Yeah. And when people would come, they'd be like, wow, this is refreshing, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. Mm. So it was like the Bible says, to being in one accord, that's kind of how it was. And anytime there was a need, people jumped on it.
Sure.
Right away.
Yeah, and you said this was kind of a small town.
It was a small church, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when church was over, I mean, I wasn't a long-winded preacher, but when church was over, people just hung out and talked. It's like, you know, they enjoyed being in church, you know.
What was one lesson you learned from being a pastor?
One is, the biggest is being open-minded, and because to be teachable as a pastor and not to be afraid to say, I don't know, because if you're to a point where you think you got it all figured out, you know, people read into that. So my thing was, I wanted to be approachable, and if I didn't know something, I would tell them, I don't know, let's figure this out together. Or I may say, let's send them to somebody that may know, you know, and not to pretend that I'm all-knowing or something as a pastor. And I think they respect that. But I think the biggest thing was getting to the point of being open-minded, because to me that's huge, because there's so much out there there's so much truth out there. I think sometimes when we got our blinders on, like I was saying before, we miss out on a lot because we say, well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way it's going to be, you know. This is the way the last pastor did it, or this is the way my grandpa did it. There's no other way but this way. Well, that's not true. You got to be open-minded, and that's in every relationship, with your spouse, your children. Yeah. My children have taught me tons over the years. Because I would say, and we were strict for, you know, sometimes we were overprotective and maybe a little too strict. And I remember my kids would ask questions, well, why do we do this way? And then it would just hit me. And I'm thinking, why do we do it this way? What am I basing this on, you know? Am I doing it because that's what someone else said? Yeah. Or is it because this is what God says? Mm. And sometimes we can, you know, we can create, just like the Pharisees, they would create more than what should have been there. You know what I'm saying? They create this religion and these new rules and stuff. And being open-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basing it on God's word,
His word and not somebody else's word.
Yeah.
And then when somebody comes to you with something, don't automatically just shut them down.
Yeah, right.
Listen to what they have to say, because you might learn something. You know what I'm saying?
Shocking.
Yeah, and that goes with all relationships, even with your spouse.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
Your children, listen, because you might learn something.
That's good.
So, and I think that comes with age.
Yeah.
That, you know, that wisdom, because I think you learn from your mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
You've been there where you weren't open-minded, and you say it's my way or the highway, and you realize that didn't get you anywhere.
Right. So then at 44, you and your wife.
33. I was 33. 33.
And then 11 years.
Started the church, yeah, 11 years. And then my plan was to be there forever, you know.
Right.
I didn't understand why preachers would move from church to church. I didn't understand that. I thought, man, you just stay there and be there. But I felt God moving me even 2 years before we left. But I didn't have the yes, you know, I need you to, and I didn't want to leave them without a pastor either. I wasn't going to do that. I wanted them to have somebody. And so I felt the Lord was moving us or pulling me out of the pastor position. And during that time, I thought, if he's going to take me out of the church, I got to have, you know, I want to know, what am I going to do? I didn't have any direction. So I just felt led to go to barber college, you know, get my barber license. I had four boys. I cut their hairs when they were growing up. So I went to barber college and got my license doing that. And then, I don't know, it was a year or so after that, I think, I ended up resigning. But then had another fella come in to the church to be intern, and he pastored the church. And the thing is, when I resigned from the church, I resigned as being a pastor, but we didn't leave the church right away.
Gotcha.
I went from being the pastor one Sunday to leading the songs the second Sunday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, and I told the fellow, his name was Daniel, I said, listen, whatever you need me to do. This is not a competition. We're all on the same team, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was probably uncomfortable for some of them, going being a pastor, and then now I'm the song leader,
yeah,
you know. But it wasn't no competition. We're all one accord type thing.
Yeah.
And so I stayed there for a few months until it was time for me to move on.
And you mentioned you worked a little bit while pastoring,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, when I was pastoring before. I was a full-time at one point, but before that, I started a sanitation business, you know, picking up trash.
Sure.
And I had a garbage truck and dumpsters and all that, and it just kept growing, growing, growing. And I had to decide whether or not to stay in the garbage business or stay a pastor, so I ended up having to sell it, you know. But at that point in time, once I sold the business, the church had grown enough to where they could support me full time.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, so then, yeah, we were good after that.
Okay, so Jason Barnes Benz,
yeah,
garbage
actually
bins.
It was Barnes Sanitation.
Barnes Sanitation,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, you were kind of in that pursuing barbering now, from pastor to barber.
Right. And that was just for me to say, I have something to fall back on.
Sure.
I mean, I was in construction,
yeah,
too. I could have done that. So once I transitioned from the church, we moved back to Pittsfield. And we were looking for churches at that time, kind of transitioning. It was difficult trying to find something, you know. But during that time, I rented a building from a fella and did the construction in there and turned it into a barbershop and advertised and just jumped right in it. and then COVID hit.
Okay.
And when COVID hit, I went by all the rules. You know, being a barber in COVID, you're close to people, you know.
Right.
So there's it's hard to be 6 feet away from them when you're cutting their hair. And so.
So did you keep working?
I did. I mean, I kept working when I could, but then there would, you know, the town would have rules, and if like I did get COVID, but my wife got it, but she didn't have, like, she had some of the symptoms that were like no taste and stuff. I ended up getting it, and you had to quarantine for like a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, but out of all of that, I missed almost 6 months of barbering because I'd have to shut down. If somebody came into the place that had COVID, it was a nightmare.
Oh, no.
And I could have been a rebel and just kept going, you know. But I just went with their rules,
sure,
you know, and did their thing.
Yeah.
And during that time of being off, I decided to go to truck driving school.
Yeah.
Now, I've had my CDL Class A for years, but I thought, well, I'm going to go to school, maybe have a little more backing behind me, you know. And I took some bookwork too in logistics. Mm-hmm. And so I took advantage of that during that time because there was money coming in. I don't remember all the details with COVID and stuff. So, and then my wife was working. So we were able to do that. I was able to put 100% into the schooling, got through that, and then got a local job driving for a company there in town.
Okay.
Which was a good, and I was there for 4 years.
4 years at that local regional job?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was over the road. I was pretty much gone all the week.
Okay, you were gone, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't home every night, but yeah. And I loved it. And I figured I'd retire from them, you know.
Yeah.
But then we were picking up some windows at over in Macomb. I can't think of that. What's those windows? Nussbaum does it.
Lear?
No. Pella.
Oh, Pella.
Yeah, so we were picking up some Pellas over Macomb, and I would take them to Austin, Texas, and I would see the Nussbaum trucks there. And I remember seeing Faith and Family on the side, and I just took a mental note of that. And sometimes I'd see them on the road, and I'm thinking, well, if this gig don't work out, this will be the next trucking company that I look into, you know. And so they were losing they were a small company. Matter of fact, they lost that Pella contract to Nussbaum. Nussbaum was able to somehow get it, and I don't know if they still have it or not.
Yeah.
But so I ended up looking into it, talked to Lisa, and then it took me a year just to decide to bite the bullet, you know, and come over. So I finally called her about a year later and said, I think I'm ready to move forward, and I'm glad I did. So.
Yeah, so it started with seeing that trailer. It's kind of what got your wheels spinning.
Yeah, the Faith and Family, the advertisement. I thought, well, if they're willing to put that on a 53-foot billboard, you know,
yeah,
then that's probably some good people that I'd like to associate with, you know.
Okay. And then after a couple months of doing dry van, you started doing flatbed.
Yeah, and I wanted that. Like in the beginning, I talked to Lisa and I said, will you guys ever do any flatbed?
Which
they only do in just a little bit. And I said, I'd like to do that, you know, one day. So the opportunity, actually an office, how it happened was there was an office job and I just applied for it, you know, just to see. Because I, you know, I like being around the people. and I was just honest with them and told them all that, I said, you know, don't feel obligated or anything. They had somebody else and I said, you know, you do what's best. And then he said something about flatbed and I said, yeah, I said, definitely. So I looked into that. Him hauled around about that for a while because I really enjoyed Matt Gordon.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, now I'm going to change again and get somebody else and have to relearn it and all that stuff. But anyway, I bit the bullet and did it, and glad I did. Mm-hmm. So it's been good.
Yeah.
And the reason I did, and I know that's one of your questions, was number one was the money.
Yeah.
It pays more.
Right.
And then I was going to have to get the insurance and thought, well, this will help with that and then the retirement and all that kind of stuff. And then the number two was the physical part.
Right.
I want to stay physical. I didn't want to just sit in the truck all the time. I like, even today, I was out in this cold weather. Freezing, you know, the tarps were just froze. It's almost like, you know, like cardboard. And I'm freezing. I'm changing my gloves. My fingers are froze, but I still enjoy it. I like being out there, moving around and doing stuff, you know, climbing up and down the trailer. And it's different all the time. It's never the same.
Yeah.
You know,
what do you haul a lot of? Is it coils, tires?
Steel. Yeah, tires. I've done tires. I picked up some steel the day. I dropped off some steel to Caterpillar, tires. I did some big bales of hay once. Had to climb up old, you know. There's a lot of work involved, but I enjoy that. I like the physical part of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this, you hit on my last part of the conversation I want to talk about, is there is a lot of stuff. People would be outside in those conditions. Me, I would be complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so cold. My fingers hurt so much. Ow! But you looked at that in a positive way,
right?
And I think you have the strength of having unwavering positivity. Like whatever you're doing, when you're in the truck,
right?
And the people you encourage out and about, you do a really great job at that. So, what are some tips for being positive on the job when it gets tough? What do you do to?
Well, I sing, and singing is keeps me motivated, because with music, music is powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul and Silas, they sang in the prison, and we saw what happened there. David encouraged Saul with his harp. I mean, there's encouragement in singing. There's times where music can make you cry. It can make you excited. So staying positive during the downtime is important, because once you stop, you know, if you've only thought about the negatives of, and there's lots of negatives in business, in work, there always is. And you can think about that. The Bible says whatsoever things are true and positive, you know, you think on these things. And so while you're in the truck and it's just you and your thoughts, you got to be careful, because if you start wandering off, you know, or even listening to the wrong type of music, the wrong message coming from that music can get you thinking the wrong things and getting discouraged. And so you got to protect your mind, so when the time comes that you do have to get out in this freezing weather, you know, you look, why am I doing this? Well, there's lots of reasons, but the main thing is it's your mind. You protect the mind. You'll go a lot further. And I think it's a lot of our battles in our minds. And we're in a day and age where there's a lot of depression and things like that. And a lot of people have a reason to be depressed.
Yeah.
You know? But you can have, this person here, they both have this, and this person here, they have the same problem. One of them is woe is me, and the other's having a good old time, smiling. Mm-hmm. You know? They still have the same problem. And they're going to still have the same problem tomorrow. It's just dependent on how they approach it, you know?
Yeah. What comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what's going on in your mind.
Yeah, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And so that is so true.
Fill that heart up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's an important lesson, and I think the thing about with truck driving, too, all day, you're thinking. You're driving, you're thinking.
Yeah.
It's you and your thoughts. If you're on the phone, maybe with a friend. But so if you have a bad thought, that's going to keep rattling around.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have a good thought,
right,
then you're going to have a good thought rattling around.
Yes.
And you have some stuff, too, you like to do when you're off the clock. You make some videos.
Yeah.
Put them on YouTube.
Yeah, and that's
encourage people.
Yeah, I was just talking to one of the truckers a while ago, because he makes videos sometimes too. It just kind of breaks up the monotony and kind of shares your day. And like with my kids, sometimes I'll even go live if I can set my phone up. Like I was in Colorado a while back in the mountains in the snow, and it was really treacherous, and I had to put chains on and all that kind of stuff. Even my dad was watching it, and he was afraid, you know. He couldn't take his eyes off of it, you know. All I did is just had it up there and had music playing in the background. The video, I just use that as an opportunity. It's just a tool, whether to bring information to somebody or give them some laughter or even for my children. You know, if I'm not there through the week, at least it can draw them and they can relate, you know. They can watch it if they want to, you know.
So where can we find you on YouTube?
I don't know. I knew you were going to ask that.
You don't know? You just exist out there?
Yeah, I don't know what, if there's a, hold on, because I took a screenshot. It's the YouTube.com. It's at Red Barnes 1205. So I don't
Red
know if
Barnes 1205.
Red Barnes 12. Red obviously is for the truck, and Barnes is my last name, and 1205, that's my anniversary. So if they click on that, maybe that'll come up.
Okay.
So, but I got followers. I don't have a million yet.
Well,
but,
that's great. You're on the road.
We're getting there. So
that's a cool thing to have, and we've had a lot of people in the truck that they use that time really well. You only got so much time in the day. We've had a lady, Nussbaum driver here, that learned another language while driving.
I've thought about that.
She taught herself French.
Really? I would like to learn Spanish, because you meet a lot of Mexicans and things
like
that. I would love to learn that.
Yeah. And so. You got the time.
Yeah.
And it's something you can do while driving.
Absolutely.
So. That's really cool. So I like what you said about finding good distractions to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and your family supports you in this, and
you're
driving.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, we have our youngest is 10. Mm-hmm. We have two still at home. And it's taken a while for him to adjust. Because when I was in my barbershop, it was like Andy Griffith, you know. they just come by and sit at the barber shop. We had an ice cream shop next door.
Oh, wow.
I'd give them change. They'd go get ice cream.
Yeah.
And he had access to me all the time.
Sure, yeah.
So transitioning to
this
was difficult, yeah.
Yeah. Well, last question I wanted to ask is, what does it mean for you to be purpose-driven? That's one of our mottos, is purpose-driven.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about
that.
I
want to ask about, for you, what does that mean?
Why I do what I do?
Yeah.
That's what it means. Why I do what I do. Like, why do I sing? I have a purpose for that, for myself, encouraging others, trying to be an ambassador for the company, you know, shining the light, you know, being a positive, you know, person, try to be an encouragement to people, being flexible, communicate, strive to do those things, strive to be understanding, open-minded, being intentional, because a lot of things don't come natural for us. You know, as human beings, our flesh sometimes gets in the way, and so we have to intentionally do that. And so purpose-driven is something that you have to intentionally do, you know what I'm saying? To, why do I do what I do? Why do I believe what I believe? And so I don't know if that answers your question or not, but just to be a profitable employee, you know?
Yeah.
And then all the other things, you could have it in sections. You know, you can have why you do it, why purpose driven at work, purpose driven at home,
right?
Purpose driven in church, purpose driven just out in life.
It's a life thing, and that's something our CEO Brent is passionate about. Is growing leaders and people that make positive impact,
right? And
in
yeah.
all parts of life. So
exactly, and just instead of willy-nilly living it, because the Bible says life is a vapor, and as you get older, you see it that way. You see, I use this much life, and I only have this much left.
Yeah.
And as you get older, you think you want to make sure you take advantage of every opportunity, like with your family, your kids. Look them in the eyes. You know, don't be so distracted. Actually, you know, get into their soul through the eyes and listen to your spouse and just take in everything that you can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And don't get so busy. And that comes with balancing life.
Sure. Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to share that you weren't able to? Anything in your notes here that we didn't cover?
No, just, you know, a lot of this in our life begins with, for most, I would say, begins where I wrote this Bible verse down in John 14:16. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's where it starts, to be able to have the love, to have that purpose driven, you know, instead of going through life wondering what's going to happen or just hoping things go this way and that way. We don't have to do that as long as we go through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And don't get distracted. That's where I believe it starts. It starts with Jesus. And then from there, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and all that stuff that we can apply in our lives, the love and all those purpose-driven things. but there has to be a foundation to build upon, you know. Build upon the sand, obviously storms come, but if you build upon the rock, Jesus Christ, then you'll have something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good word. It starts with being impacted, poured into by Jesus, his love for us.
And then from there,
others. It goes out.
The two greatest commandments, and he said all the other commandments hang on these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your might. Mm-hmm. And the second is like unto that, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
So he said those are the two greatest commandments, and all the other commandments hang on those two. So you get those two right. We don't have to worry. We don't have to focus on the big picture. Focus on those two things, and the other things will happen naturally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the key. And love is the key, I believe. And sometimes it may not be unconditional. I think it should be, you know, with everybody. But do it, and then maybe that unconditional will come later on, you know. But we can't be exactly like Christ, obviously, in his love for others. but we can do our best, you know, and take those characteristics.
Any shout outs you'd like to make to either family, driver manager, other drivers out here?
Matt Gordon, I loved him as a, and I had a hard time switching from him, you know, going to flatbed, but now I have Tim and both of them, and I think most of the people, laid back. I'm a laid back type of person, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't try to get involved, you know, the drama and stuff. I don't like all that. And those two have just been perfect fit for me. And just everybody. I mean, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And just so many people here that I'm getting to know. It's going to take a long time, you know, because I'm not here that often.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm not here that often, but, you know, sometimes I'll even look at the directory and look at faces so I can, if I ever do see them, I can say their name.
Sure.
And
it's good for you.
Yeah, I just kind of get to know them, you know, a little bit here and there.
Yeah. That's really cool.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks again for coming in.
Yep, I appreciate it.
While your truck's getting worked on, I appreciate the time, its intentionality. You're probably not wanting to talk a lot. You're probably wanting just to relax, so I appreciate
you
doing
enjoy
this.
It. Yeah, it's fine. But, yeah, no, I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate the podcast. I think everybody else does too. It's nice to be able to, even the radio time where you can listen in and stuff.
While we're talking about it, if you got ideas for this podcast, we are listening. I want your ideas. I'm always listening for ideas. I love hearing the stories of our drivers.
Yeah.
So if you got something, send it to me.
Yeah, I like the fact, like some of the old ones where you had, you had Matt Gordon on, you had Lisa on.
Yeah.
Learning the lives of people that you can relate to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That way you get to know the person maybe a little more intimate in what they come from, and you may be able to relate to them somehow, you know?
For sure. It's common ground.
Yeah, because I like to draw, and I think Lisa found out she liked to draw or something. So there was a commonality there.
Yeah.
And so anyway. Yeah, I like that. I like the podcast. Well, the fellow you had on last time that was retiring, I enjoyed that, you know?
Yeah.
And
Steve.
Hearing his story. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to our listeners, and also thank you to Daniel, our video audio technician, working behind the scenes. Until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, this is Lisa from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.